Good evening, everybody. I'm not going to reintroduce Pastor Mangaliso. I think you know by now who he is and what he's about. And we spent most of the day with him. And what just amazed me was how deep this man's well is. Because if you guys thought you got a good sermon this morning over lunch, you missed the best sermon. We got it. If you bring me some biltong and chocolates, I'll share it with you. But so we got the huge privilege of having Pastor Mangaliso share with us again, and God's already working. His Holy Spirit is already working, and He's starting just to knock on the door of our hearts, because His heart, like Stephen said, is to restore and to revive us, because He's the source of life. And so when we come to the source, we get life. And so, Pastor Mangaliso, come bless us. Let's give him a hand.
Well, praise the Lord. Let's give Jesus a great big hand. Amen. Hallelujah. We can do better for Jesus. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we give you praise and honor and adoration. Amen. Once again, thank you to Richard and Jolene and the leadership for this wonderful privilege. Amen. How many were blessed this morning? How many were here this morning? All right. Great. So this is part two. So tell your neighbor part two. Right. Great stuff. What a word. Thank you so much. What a word. And that is where the Holy Spirit is. He's talking about restoration. So quickly, so that we don't delay, let's go back to the book of Acts chapter 2. I just want to continue. And thank you for coming, because you need to know the part two. Amen. Season two. Everyone say season two. That's right. Maybe if we don't know what part two is, we are living in days where there's seasons and series. All right. Season two. Acts chapter 2, and we want to continue from verse number 2. We are still speaking on restoration, how the Lord restores. Now, I want to start from, remember, just to recap quickly, two things are very important in the ministry of the Word of God. The Bible says, you shall, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall become witnesses. Everybody say, power, witnesses. So that is what Christianity is about. Christianity is not about, thank God for the songs we sing, but the songs we sing must have power. People are looking for power. Power to deliver, power to set free, power to realign, power to help us, power to heal. There has to be power. Amen? You can't just, you see, this is the difference between religion and relationship. Religion is a system, it's like a dummy. You know a dummy? When you give a child a dummy, children know there's nothing there. Don't think they don't know. They know there's nothing there. Because they can tell when they suck on the real thing and they drink. They can also tell when they are not sucking on anything. But they enjoy that sucking that has nothing, because it's comfort. Religion, hello, is the dummy without the milk. You know the stuff has nothing in it. Hello. But you are happy to be there, and just, you feel like you're doing something. Come on, people. Let's be truthful now. Let's be honest now. You feel like you're doing something, but you know in your heart you're not even honest. You know in your heart you're not even sincere. You're like, Lord, it's an hour. Let's do this thing quickly. Hello? That's right. We come from there. Come on, let's be honest. We come from there. And that's why people sometimes don't go to church, because people are tired of pretending. Because they get to church, they pretend. They get to work, they pretend. They get to the family, they pretend. They're tired of pretending. It's like, I'm pretending every time. But Jesus is knocking at your door and He says, today be sincere. Let me put it this way. God knows exactly where you are, so don't try to hide. You may be in a place where you are saying, God, I'm tired. I'm tired of playing church. God, that's where He wants you to be. He wants you to be in a place of honesty and sincerity. Many of us, we do church as expected, because it's just the right way to do it. But we are not sincere. We are not genuine. If somebody were to ask you, are you happy that you are saved? Think correctly. what you're about to say. Amen. Because that's when the devil is going to put you aside and say, but you remember God did not answer that prayer. And God did not answer that prayer. And God did not answer that prayer. How can he say you are happy? So right there, we need to live a life that is honest and sincere. Here is a man who encounters Jesus. And Jesus says to him, remember the two people, the parable that Jesus said? He said, one guy said, I'm a tither. Lord, I'm a tither. I am a giver. I am good. I'm together. And the other one said, Lord, I'm a sinner in need of a savior. I'm not even worthy of you. That one got the real deal. Why? Because he was sincere. The Bible says God knows that we are sinners. And that's not God's problem. God's problem is our pride in sin. I'll repeat. God knows that we are sinners. He knows that we are dust. He knows that we've got issues. Hello, we have issues. Humans have issues, generally. We look okay, but you don't want to go deeper than that. Just want to stay there. So God knows we are human. He knows our issues. But his problem is our pride to admit that I'm a sinner. I need a savior. So he says he knows that. So God has no problem with you being a sinner. Now it sounds bad to say that in church. God has no problem, because he knows sinners sin. What do you expect sinners to do? Sinners sin. Sometimes we see sinners say, why are they doing that? They're sinners. That's what sinners do. They sin. But God has a problem in remaining in your sin. And staying in your sin. And even defending your sin. Hello? And even creating rules and regulations that guard your sin. Like our nation. Oops. Let's leave that alone. You understand? And legislate your sin. And protect you. Instead of saying, Lord, I need help. Then you create a whole. The reason why I don't do this is because, you see, this is the way. Then you blame the way you were brought up. Then you blame the way you were. Then you blame so many. It's like, really? When are you going to take responsibility? When you're blaming the whole world. So God is waiting for you to ultimately say, yes, Lord, maybe this went wrong, maybe that went wrong, but I also have taken responsibility. Then the Lord says, now we can talk. Because now you have finally come to a place of saying, I am a sinner in need of a savior. So today, the Lord wants us to be honest and sincere. We come to him with hearts that are honest and sincere. God is not looking for perfection. He perfects the called. He doesn't call the perfect. So you don't have to be perfect before God uses you. But you have to be a work in progress. All of us are. A work in progress. But there must be progress. Hello? So don't destroy. Don't look at us. Don't look at a person and say, well, you know, we've all tried. God is busy at work in the life. And our journeys are not the same. And our paths are not the same. So don't compare yourself with the next person because you don't know what God is doing. You don't know where they are in their journey of life. But all of us must carry our cross responsibility. All of us must carry our, and it's your cross. I'm going to say some stuff. Listen to this. Everything about you is everything that is needed for God to use you. With it is the ingredients that is needed for your journey. The way you were brought up. The stuff you were brought up in. The good, bad, and the ugly. Everything in there is the necessary ingredient to bring out the person that God wants you to become to save the world. So our trauma and our crisis, God has a way of knowing how to work it out for his good. So God can entrust you, underline the word entrust you, because that's what it is. God can entrust you with a tragedy, entrust you. I use the words very carefully, entrust you. Because not everybody goes through tragedy, but those who do, you almost feel like you're a victim. There's always a question, why me, Lord? So the question, that's a wrong question to ask, why me, Lord? The right question should be, Lord, thank you for choosing me to become a vessel that will worship you in my pain for the sake of many others. Because then I become a lesson. You know, when you are a widow, example, when you are a widow or a widower, and somebody loses their spouse, it does not matter how much we preach to you. We don't reach you. Because you're like, okay, great, you don't know what I'm going through. Until we bring another widow who says, I've been through your journey. By their presence, they heal you. Because you say, you know exactly what is going on in my life. So sometimes God allows us to go through widowhood so that we heal many widows. Sometimes God allows us to go through divorce, as ugly as it is, as terrible as it is, as painful as it is, but so that we can heal others who are going through the same pain and they don't know what to do with themselves. Because there are people who go through pain and they lose themselves. But you went through that pain and you're still standing. The grace of God has still kept you. Do you understand? Some of us, we've got children who are not well, health-wise. And we've struggled with that issue. And we said, Lord, why is my child like this? Everybody else's child is fine. And the Lord says, carry your cross. Because that journey, there are many on that path that need you to touch their lives. There are many on that path. Because nobody's going to say, no one asks for it, but God gives it to you. He allows that situation, the situation of the issue of blood, so that one day you'll have a testimony that Jesus touched me. But also he gives you the thorn in the flesh. No matter how much you pray, hello, no matter how much you ask, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient. And you're like, Lord, what are you saying? It's a nice way of saying no. Lord, can you heal me? He says, my grace is... Lord, just why are you saying no? God says, my grace is sufficient. What is God saying? He says, don't depend on your strength. I am able to sustain you. I am so big, I'm able to sustain you in the midst of your problem. I want to demonstrate through your life that you don't serve me because I'm doing nice things to you. You serve me because you love me. You are obedient to me. We don't serve God because God showers us with good things. We serve God because he's worthy. He's worthy of the praise. That's why Job says, though he slay me, yet will I worship him. I mean, what level of maturity is that? Look, it's one thing to lose your business. It's a different thing to lose your business and your family. Same time. That's another stuff. But Job, and then the wife says to him, and you see, sometimes we judge the wife, but it's she's not being wicked. She's being real. She's like, what's the point? Why are we still serving God when God is not taking care of us? Just curse God and die. It's better for you dead than for you to suffer like this. Job says, I know my Redeemer lives. Oh my God. I know my Redeemer lives. Are we able to worship God in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our misery, in the midst of our brokenness, and yet we still say, I know he's alive. I may not have the answers for what is going on, but I know that he's a faithful God. I know that he's a true God. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. I will stick with him till the end. And when God looks at that testimony, it becomes now that is real Christianity. Not convenience Christianity. But real, worshiping him in the midst of your pain. In fact, using your pain as a sacrifice to say, Lord, I bring you my pain. I bring you my, you know, shattered dreams and wounded heart. And I laid before you as a sacrifice because that is very real. Pain is no one can pretend to pain. Pain is real, folks. When stuff has happened in your life, you can't reverse it. You can't wish it away. It has happened. But you worship God in your pain because you've come to the level where Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was. Remember in Daniel chapter 3 verse 18, they say, O King, let it be known unto you, we will not bow. Even if He said, because it says number, because our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. And then they go to the next verse. Even if he chooses not to. Whoa. Most of us, we end there. Our God is able. Our God is able. Oh, my God is able. I know he can do it. Oh, my God is able. God can do it. Most believers end there. But that is just normal Christianity. That's Christianity 101. But if you want to grow in God, if you want real relationship, you move to the next level. Even if he chooses not to, I will still not bow down. Wow. Now that's another level. That's the level of Christianity we need to move into. You know why? Because that is genuine relationship with God. Marriage. Those of you who are married, I'm sure there's a lot of you. How many of you are married? Amen. You see? I'm a prophet. Go figure. Those of you who are married, huh? You don't dump your spouse because of the mistake he has done first time. In fact, sometimes our spouses mess up and you stick around anyway. Hello? Because this thing is a covenant. Do you understand? It's your choice. No one says, you better stay in this. You choose because, and you know, today it's even more, there's more freedom to get out of marriage quicker than it used to be in our parents' days. In our parents' days, like, you sit there. In fact, you would go home and they would chase you away. Back to your husband or back to your spouse. It would be your parents say, what are you doing here? Take all your things. Go, come, let's go. We married you. You were married. You are here. Sort your stuff out. I love that generation. They understood commitment. Of course, that does not condone abuse and other things. There are other things that go with it. You understand what I'm saying? But there is a level of commitment that understands covenant. There is a level of, and our generation has lost that level of commitment. At the slightest discomfort, we quit. At the slightest, you hear what I'm saying? Not even hurt, discomfort. It's too loud. I quit. It's too short. I quit. It's too long. I quit. It's like, really? Hang on. If that's how we grew up, we would have never been where we are. If that was your principle in life, you would have never achieved the things you achieved now. Because I'm sure you had many opportunities to quit. And thank God for those strict parents. Hello. You are going to school today. I have a tummy. Yes, it will heal on the way. Let's go to school. It's a principle because sometimes there's no tummy. Hello, people. Sometimes there's no tummy. I always say to my kids, I'm a pastor. I'll pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal the tummy. And I say, you are healed, my child. Let's go. You understand? Because if you don't create the systems, human beings, we naturally gravitate towards laziness, comfort. You know, if we can have our cake and bake it and eat it the way we want it. And, it, you know, we are reverend the player. We can do what we want, but that's not how life is. We understand that principle in the workplace. Why don't we understand that principle in spiritual things? In the workplace, raining, snowing, whatever, we go to work. And if it's 7:30, you are there at 7:30. In the snow. At 7:30. Do you understand? When it comes to spiritual thing, oh, God understands. Oh, really? God understands you've got to sleep an hour longer. Wow. The same God who gave you life, who gave you the job, that you respect more than him. Think about that. It shows our level of commitment. So what am I saying? I am saying it's worth serving God no matter what. Let's be committed in the things of God. We are in this thing for the long haul. We are not going to quit on the way. We are not going to give up along the way. In fact, this is what makes our children not trust us. Because they say, you were in this thing. You were praising God. I've seen precious kids who are really hurt. Who are really hurt because they saw their parents so religious. And yet they did not see the benefits of that religion. It was hurting. There was skinnering. You know, there was all kinds of divisions. You know what? We've been there. You know what I'm talking about? The church folks can be mean. Oh my God. It's like, how are you? Are you well? And what makes it hard is that you don't expect that in church. You expect that in the world, but you don't expect that in church because you're like, these are church people. They are angels. They're supposed to glow in the dark. Huh? Not so. Not so. We are human. Hello? And so the enemy starts using small little things to say to you, you see, this thing is not real. But let me say this. There's no perfect church. You know why? Because there are no perfect people. Amen? Yes. And because there are no perfect people and we are part of the imperfect people, so we make the church imperfect because we are also imperfect. Think about it. Because sometimes we say, oh, there's a problem there. You know, they have a problem. They, and there's three fingers pointing right at you. They have a problem. They, and the Lord says, but you are part of the problem. So what am I saying? We need to learn New Testament Christianity is commitment all the way. We don't chop and change. We don't come in and out. We don't jump in and out. We are all in it and all boots, socks and everything. You are in God. You are going nowhere. I got born again at the age of 6 by the grace of God. I was small when I got born again. I grew up in church. I'm a church mouse. I know nothing but church. I'm not sure whether that's good or bad, but I think it's good. I think it's good because you get saved from, you see things, but you don't know how people got there. It's like, how did they get there? It's because God saved you and helped you and protected you. So you've got children who are young. Raise them up in the ways of God. I love what I see here. And let them be in the house of God. Don't worry what's happening in there. Even if they're playing, there's a word that's dropping in their spirit. Because I remember being in church, and I remember hearing the songs and the what, and I remember seeing people falling, and I was so scared. I was like, what's going on? I was like, what is happening? And my mother cries, like, why are you crying? That's important because you know what it did to me? It impacted me. Because I knew church is about an experience. Church is about an encounter. And I kept on looking for that encounter as I grew up. And I knew if I don't see that encounter, that's probably not church. Something's wrong there. There's no Holy Spirit there. There must be something that touches. Something must. So I grew up with an expectation. And that expectation has made me hungry for God and hungry for more. So it's important that we understand that when we are in the things of God, we commit all the way through. There's nothing else. You are missing nothing in the world, I can assure you. You are missing nothing. There's nothing we are missing there. Everything we have is in God. Now I'm coming to my sermon. That was introduction. You understand? Is that okay? I know to others like half the sermon is like, okay, he's about done. No, I'm just starting. And only 5 minutes has gone past or 10 or whatever it is. Not sure how long it is. Are you still here? So I don't know why I had to say those things, but you all needed those things. So the Holy Spirit knows what he was saying to who. This is how, as I said, I warned you in the beginning, in the morning. When I preach prophetically. So I've got these little offshoots somewhere, but they are necessary. Amen? Right. So let's see what the Lord wants to say to us. So everybody say power and witness. So that is what we need to do. But we don't get power without the connection with the Holy Spirit. We need that connection with the Holy Spirit. I can never overemphasize this point. Why do we need the connection with the Holy Spirit? He's a life-giving spirit. The Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 104, let's go there, Psalms 104 and verse number 30, Psalms 104 and verse number 30, from verse 27. Let's take it from verse 27. Psalms 104 from verse 27. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die, and they return to the dust. You send forth your spirit, and they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. That is the life story of human beings. All people wait for God. Everything is sustained by the power of the Holy Spirit. It says that they all wait for you. You give them their food in their season, in due season. What you give them, they gather in. So whatever we have, we've been given by God. Amen? Our provision, this is the goodness of God. Both sinner and saint receive the same provision. God doesn't say, sorry, you are not saved. I'm not going to give you. You are saved, I'm going to give. No, God loves all his people, sinners and saints together. He loves everybody. The sun shines for the righteous and the unrighteous. That's the love of God. Wow, what a loving Father we have. And the Bible says, you open up your hand. When he opens up his hands, we are filled. When he hides his face, we are troubled. So the moment you feel troubled, look for the face of God. When you feel troubled, look for the face of God. You take away their breath, they die, they return to the dust. But you send your spirit, they are created. I want to say this to you. When everything else dies, the Holy Spirit has the ability to revive it. Ezekiel 37, the Bible says, the bones came together. The army of the Lord was resurrected when God spoke to the prophet. He says to the prophet, can these bones live again? You know when God takes you to the graveyard and say, can the people live again? It's a problem. You understand? It's a very big problem. Because this is God. If you say no, you're saying he has no power. If you say yes, it's like, I don't even know how that's going to happen. So the prophet said the right thing. I don't know. It's okay to say, I don't know. Sometimes the things of God are mysterious. And if there's no mystery, then it's not God. We need to learn. So the prophet says, I don't know. He says to him, prophesy. Wow. What the power. He says to him, what? He doesn't say pray. He says prophesy. He doesn't say preach. He says prophesy. Preaching is good. Prayer is good. But you see, you need to know which tool to use to get things resurrected. When we need resurrection power, we don't preach. We don't pray. We prophesy. What does prophesy mean? It means speak life. Inject life through your words. The power of life and death are in your tongue. When you're a child of God, you must learn which weapon to use. When things are bad and things are done and things are not happening and it's the worst scenario, you don't pray. You prophesy. Because prayer is conversation. Conversation is that. Conversation. You're saying, Lord, what's going to happen? And God says, I've already answered you. It's in the word. Lord, I need this. Says, okay, the answer is right there. Just look at the Bible. Find it. But when you see a situation, what did he say to Moses in the midst of the Red Sea? He said to him, lift up the rod. That was prophesy. Lift up the rod. Action. He didn't say to him, pray. He said, lift up the rod. You understand? What did he say to Lazarus when he was dead? He didn't say, oh, Father, I pray. He prayed shortly. He said, the reason why I'm praying out loud, I'm crying, is because I just want them to know I'm not doing a magic. Otherwise, you and me have finished this deal. This guy is coming out of that grave. Lazarus, come! That's prophecy. What you don't, you command, with prophecy, you command. You bring life. You call life out. That's why the girl who was dead, Tabitha, he said to him, Tabitha, Kumi, daughter, I say to you, he didn't pray, he didn't say, Father, I pray that you will raise this child from the dead. That's conversation. You are talking to your daddy. you are not addressing the spirit of death. Two different things. Same thing happens in sickness, I hope you know. When we do healing, when you minister healing, you minister. You understand? Because sometimes we do a lot of praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal. God says, I've already healed. Just speak it. Declare it. Announce it. Speak life. Prophesy. Say, can these bones live? Tell the bones. Bones, live again. That's it. But that takes authority. And that authority you can't have unless there's a relationship. Most of the time, we are unable to address the troubled situations of our lives because we don't have authority. And that authority, we don't have it because we don't have relationship. If you come from a family, all of you would know this, you look at children when they play, you can tell a child who comes from a family where they are not affirmed, where there's no love and support. They're very shy, very laid back. They are not sure of themselves. When other children are speaking, they are like, they don't know whether they should speak or not speak. You know that there's trouble at home. Or you can tell. But when a child comes from a family where there's love, where there's support, where there's emotional, you know, backup, they can be out there. They can be speaking. They're assertive. Why? Because it comes from a certain place. What does that mean? Authority and confidence comes from a healthy relationship. As it is in the natural, it is in the spiritual. Authority and confidence to do the work of the ministry comes from a healthy relationship with God. When you have that, and this is what healthy relationship is. Healthy relationship is, I come as I am, you deal with my issues. Healthy relationship does not mean, Lord, I am perfect. Because God knows you are not. So let's settle that one. Hello? He knows you not. He knows you. People may not know you. God knows all your stuff. So hiding from God and say, Lord, God's like, no, please, get real. I know you. He knows you behind your tongues. Come on. You know, when you're not speaking in tongues, he knows exactly what you're thinking. When you're not in the spirit, he knows exactly who you are. With all your stuff, he knows you. So we don't come to God with performance. We don't come to God with performance. Lord, I've done well. Lord, I've done. God says, no, it's not your works. It's your heart. Bring your heart. As you come, you say, Father, here am I. Receive me. Forgive me. I pray that you restore me. Make me bold again. When that relationship is beautiful, you can face the devil any day with power and authority and say, in the name of Jesus, get behind me, Satan. That authority comes upon you because of a healthy relationship. So, he says to Ezekiel, prophesy. Not pray. Prophesy. So, I want you to learn to prophesy. Have that ability. Speak life into nothing. Prophecy does not even need you to be born again. I know many people who are business people who have prophesied things and they've happened and they are not even born again. A businessman can see a forest and say, there'll be a mall there. We'll build a mall. He already sees the mall. He sees the parking lot. He's just like, wow. It's like, what do you see? And then he has the audacity of getting an architect to do a model of a forest that has a mall in it. It's called faith. It's called prophecy. They are speaking life into nothing. And because they believe and they pursue it and the money comes. Sometimes they don't even have the money. They just have an idea. Hello, people. Are you here? That's right. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Why is it that people who are just worldly can see an idea, pursue it with all they've got and they succeed? You, with all the Holy Spirit, tongues and all. Hello. Anointing and power, say nothing, and nothing happens. Because you scare, and we stand at the place, if it's God's will, I'm waiting for God. You're waiting for God, and God is waiting for you. It's like you're waiting on each other. So it's a stalemate. It's like, who's going to move first? Do something, God, do something. You do something. Oh, Lord, I need you to do something. Just do it. Hallelujah. Just get on with it. Just move. Take the first step. Believe God. Trust the Lord. Do you understand? Some of you, God has given you a project and you look at the project, it's huge. You say, I don't have the money. God says, God never spoke about money. He gave you a dream. That's why I love that word. He gave you a dream. He said, this is what you must do. You are talking money and I don't have people. I don't have real. God is like, hello, I am God. This is the Almighty talking. Do it. You see, when God says, go and do it, He says to you, I've got your back. All I need you to do, because remember folks, God cannot walk on planet Earth on 2 feet. He's not allowed. We will all run away. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why the moment He came to Earth, He had to take a human form. Hence Jesus. Because if God came by Himself, folks, hello. You understand? It's a disaster. Some, you know that people say, I want to see Jesus. Say, I hope you don't mean that literally. Because sometimes, look, spiritual beings are awesome and it's incredible. Angels, huh? Angels, let's not even talk Jesus. Angels are huge. Where do you get that? In the book of Revelation, you hear an angel having 1 foot in one area and another foot in another country. Like, huge. You have no idea. So, this faith we are in, this is okay. We believe by faith. We walk by faith. Jesus, don't show me many other things. Just your love is enough. What does that tell you? God is big enough to handle it. But He's looking for an earthly conduit. He's looking for partnership. God cannot come and do things for us. He's looking for an earthly agent. I am available, God says. Yes, go. As you go, He supplies. As you go, He provides. As you go, He opens doors. So many a times we failed to see God move because we've been waiting for provision, waiting, and God is like, don't wait, I'm here. And sometimes we do the fleece, you know, the fleece thing. Lord, if it's you, you know, let my collar be like this. If it's not you, let my... It's like, really? In the 21st century, are we still there? Really? You understand? Lord, if He's the one, let Him tie my shoes. Come on. I mean, really? When are you going to walk by faith? And let me tell you something. The world out there is very aggressive. They don't beg your opinion. They tell you. They instruct you. They tell you. You know, when have you seen advertising and marketing? Very interesting about advertisement. You will change your phone even when you don't need to. Just because they bombard you with this, the latest iPhone. I don't know what the iPhones are. What is the latest? 11, 12, 16? I have no idea. So they'll bombard you, huh? What? 15? Oh, there's iPhone 15? Can you believe it? See, she knows. The young people know. It's like this iPhone 6 has been working very well. Hello, people. It's got all the stuff you need. It's working. But they'll put iPhone 15. You need 15. And I'm like, why? You know, and most of my phones, it's my kids who, because it's on contract. My kids, Dad, get that one. I'm like, why? Don't worry. We need it. So I get these complicated phones, which I can't use. You understand? Because they want them. Now, marketing is aggressive. But the church is very apologetic. Would you love to come to church? Do you feel okay with Jesus? Is it okay for you to worship God? Wow. And you do that to a person who's struggling with pornography. They put it in his face. They don't ask for his permission. You are busy on your computer doing serious stuff. And then pop. You want to be kinky? What? Where does that come from? What happened? Why is this in my computer? Do you know? It's in your face. And we come to church. We are very apologetic. we don't want to offend anybody. Is it okay if we pray for you? In the name of Jesus, come on, pray for them. Pray for them. Because the world does not ask our permission. They put it in your face. They rub it in. And before you know, you are caught up. You are a captive. You're a slave of things that you never permitted in your life. But we are very casual about Jesus. Sports field. Have you seen how many men are in a rugby stadium when it plays? Men. I'm talking about men. Real men. I mean, we feel anointing in the rugby stadium. You want to see men? You want to know where men are? We are in the rugby stadium. Come to church and try and find out how many men are there. What's that? It's because the world puts it in your face. You need this. You got to come and watch this. And they appeal to your manhood. And you want to see that stuff happening. There's all that energy and power. Why can't we do that in church? Why can't we create events that attract the men, that pull them in? Because we know where the men are. Because men don't like crying. One of the reasons why men don't come to church is because they think it's an emotional whatever. It's like, whew. Because men don't want to appear weak. We are strong. We are tough. But we know what I'm saying. Men can't cry. Men don't cry. And you want to cry, but... You want to cry, but men don't cry. And that's why we die prematurely, because all that emotion goes where? Because it's not coming out with tears. So where does it go? What happened? You did not express it. And that's why women live longer, because they know how to. Yes, women are in touch with their emotions. It's a truth. It's the truth. I mean, I'm on two WhatsApp groups in my church. My wife has got her WhatsApp group with the pastors and the ladies. I've got my WhatsApp group with the guys. The traffic is not the same. That's all I can say. The traffic is not the same. These are the same people. These are pastors' wives, the whole group. The traffic is not. This side of my wife is like, hey, how are you? I'm like, what are you people saying? You have so many things to say. And this side's like, hi, hi. So guys, are we good? We good, Pastor. We good. And sometimes there's no words. It's like, it's just emojis. Because guys don't want to talk. So we bottle everything inside. And when we're supposed to talk, it's all in there. So we need Jesus to help us. We need the Holy Spirit to set us free. We need God to deliver us from ourselves. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And a real man knows how to connect with God. And a real man knows how to break down in his prayer closet and say, Father, I need you. I need you, God. Because let me tell you something. There's so much pressure on the male seed. Part of the reason why I don't know why I'm on men, but let me flow. Part of the reason why men don't come to church sometimes is because it's better to be in a club with guys and we're drinking. And not because we want to drink. We just want association and company. Men can be very lonely. And because we are not expressive, we don't say what's going on. We just go to a gathering where men are gathered. And you make friends with strangers. You understand? And you talk and you laugh. And you feel good. And you know, of course, in the process, you're getting intoxicated, which is even better. You understand? But because you are trying to numb your pain. Because men are in pain. You get home. Ooh, la la. The first thing you receive is this and that. Boom, 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 boom. Like, oh my God, can't I just sit on the couch? Can I sit first? Just let me sit before you throw stuff. Men can feel very pressured. Hello? And please, men, your wife is not doing this deliberately. It's because she's been waiting to speak. Women have a particular amount of words that they need to speak per day. And you are not arriving on time. So they are waiting for you. By the time you open that door, like, okay, you are here. Boom, boom, boom. I've got to offload. It's not because they are trying to do. It's just that it's catharsis. It's healthy for them. And when they are done, they're like, and so how are you? Now that I have poured everything out. You understand? And all you got to do as a man is just to listen. And know what trigger words to speak so that she continues. And when she asks you something, yeah, it's very good, but it's not, and then, and so, what do you think? And yeah, you see, I think, yeah, ah, oh, glory. That is a very powerful relationship. And we need to understand, because if God does not win the man, he does not win the family. Because you see, the children take after, they love their moms, but their identity is their dad's. Because it's the male chromosome that determines the male or the femaleness of a child. Life science teaches us that. It's the Y. It's the X and Y. Remember? Life science? Great whatever. I don't remember what grade that was. But it is the male chromosome. So sometimes men are like, you're not giving me sons. It's not the woman who's not giving you sons. Let's leave that alone. It's you who ain't creating sons for yourself. And we can't question that. So that's why children at some point, it does not matter how old they are. At one point, if they never grew with their dads, they'll ask the question, where's my dad? And mothers don't like that question particularly. Especially if they are the single mothers who've been raising their children. Because they feel like you are saying you are not good enough. No, but kids are not saying that. They are just looking for an identity. And it's important to understand, fathers, how important our role is to be there for our children. Sometimes you may not fully understand all the stuff they are doing. But being there gives... Their mothers are always there. So they can't. They don't expect their mothers not to be there because they kind of know that she'll be there. But they look for the dad. Is dad there? They look for you. It's like, you know, I remember one time I had to come back. My son was doing whatever this thing, matric dance or whatever they call it, matric farewell. I had to come back from a speaking engagement. My wife said, you better be here now. Leave God and his people there. Come here. Your son needs you. I had to take the next flight and be there. And when my son saw me, he was like, oh, dad, you're here. I could see he was lighting up. I said, oh my goodness, I would have missed an opportunity to show my son that it's okay to be a preacher's kid. I don't have to be preaching and you are here alone. I can be a dad also to you. That is a very important connection. I'm not sure why I said all those things, but God help you. I know he knows why I had to say those things. Amen? It's another little offshoot. It's very important that we understand that God wants us to come to him just as we are. Open up your heart. Talk to God. Heart to heart. There are times in my marriage, married now for 27 years in December. Thank you, Jesus. But there are times in my marriage where I have no idea. We slept. Everything was wonderful. We wake up. I am not sure what's going on. Do you know what? Those who are married know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like you're not sure between sleeping and waking up. What? Because we were okay when we slept. When we wake up, it's like the mood is, you know, cloudy and mild with scattered thunder showers. If you know what I'm saying. It's like, what's going on in this house? When it gets like that, because I don't know what it is it on me or on her? It could be on me. It could be just a spirit that's on my life. So what I do, I go to my prayer closet and say, Lord, help us. That's why I finish the business. Help us. Because I'm not sure what's going on. I'm not sure whether it's her or it's me or it's both of us or it's something else. But stuff is not good. You can tell when stuff is not good. When the emotional health of the house is not in order, where do you run to as a man when your children are looking for you to give them answers and you know you don't have them? Where do you run to when your wife needs that support and you know you don't have the capacity to give it? Where do you, and you feel guilty sometimes because of your own mistakes and you feel insufficient and you feel inadequate? Where do you run to? We have to run to Jesus. We have to run to Him. And He alone, by the power of the Holy Spirit, helps us to be able to fight the battles of life. When your sons are looking for advice your dad never gave you, where do you run to? Because sometimes some of us, we never grew up with dads. So we don't know how to dad. Because we never had dads. And people are, you know, and your son is like, "Dad? Do something. I don't know. Do things that dads do." And you're like, "I have no idea what dads do. Because there was no one to show me what dads do." So the only father who's going to teach you how to do that stuff. And you need to know how to run to Him and say, "Father, I don't know what to do here. Please teach me. Teach me how to be the husband you want me to be. Teach me how to be the father that my dad never was." And this is the key point. Do not, you know, I always say to people, father is an office, just like mother. These are offices. Whoever stands behind that office, however way they handle it, must not make you discredit the office. Do you hear what I've just said? Father is an office. Like president is an office. Like chairperson is an office. Whoever sits there can be all kinds of people. But don't discredit the grace of God upon that office and its responsibility and the blessing it gives. Just because the person who's standing behind that responsibility is irresponsible. Let God deal with the person, but you continue to honor that office. You continue to reverence that office. You continue. I mean, people who serve chairpersons and presidents and CEOs, your CEO can be mean, but it's not the person you are serving. It's the office. You are honorable to the office. Same it is in the natural. You're honorable to your dad, not because he's been a best dad, but because you understand that you came out of him. He is your source. He's the one who brought you, and you honor. Because, and when you do that, God, because that's God's pattern, God blesses you even if the man behind that office is a mess. And even if he's irresponsible, God continues to bless you because you always honor the office. There's a blessing in honoring, and there's a blessing in following the principles of God. At all times. But it's the spirit that the Holy Spirit gives. It's the wisdom the Holy Spirit gives you. You don't have that naturally. It's not something you can just come up with. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Are we together? Right. I'm going to wrap up with the following words. Are we still here? All right. I'm going to wrap up because I can see that we need to close. The following things that we need to understand in restoration. I'm going to give you a few points. Isaiah 42 verse 18 to 20. Isaiah 42 verse 18 to 20. "Hear you deaf, look you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Who is deaf but my messenger whom I sent? Who is blind as he who is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but you don't observe. Opening your ears, but you do not hear." Verse 22. "But this is a people robbed, a people plundered. All of them are snared in holes. They are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey and no one delivers, for plunder and no one cries out, restore." A very, very powerful verse I want to close with. This is the one. So the Bible says, "Hear you, O deaf, look you, O blind, that you may see." Who is deaf but my servant? What does that mean? It means sometimes though we serve God, but we are dull of hearing. We need to, you see, hearing is very, very, in spiritual things, hearing is more important than sight. Hearing is more important than vision in spiritual things. Because when you hear God, you get instruction. Sometimes you see, but you can't understand. But when you hear, you get instruction. Your spiritual ears must be sharp. But the Bible says, sometimes the servants of God, we don't hear. Why don't we hear? There are many things and many situations that causes us not to hear. issues of life that can block your hearing. Today we need to pray, Lord, open my spiritual ears to hear. Because there's nothing God does unless he tells his servants, the prophets. We are not supposed to be surprised by life. Life is not supposed to shock you every day. It's like, what happened? Why is it? God actually tells us, but sometimes we are not listening. Has something ever happened to you and you know that, you know what? I think God told me this, but I was too preoccupied. I was too busy. I think I saw this, but I kind of, no, it can't be. And boom, it happens. And you're like, God had warned me, but I did not pay attention. So the Holy Spirit is always speaking, but sometimes we don't pay attention because there's so many things happening in our lives. I want you to ask God today as we are going to pray that the Lord will open your spiritual ears that you will hear, that the Lord will open your spiritual eyes that you will see. It says, who is blind but my servant? Wow, I thought the world is blind. This one says, my servant is blind. You know when the servant, and who's the servant? It's not the pastor, it's us. In the New Testament, remember, we are the royal priesthood. In the New Testament, we are the holy nation. We are the ones God has called to. Because you see, our pastor will never get to the work where you work, but you are the pastor in your job. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are the dominee in your kerk. You've got a little kerk there. It's called your work. Some of you, the church starts tomorrow. 8 a.m., that's your church. And you are the pastor. You didn't know that. Now I'm telling you, you are the pastor. And they're waiting for you. Your church is waiting for you. Because church is not, this one, there's only one person at a time who can preach here. And thank God, Richard is the one preaching here. And he's given me the opportunity to preach. But we can't all have this pulpit. So we need to understand there's pulpits out there. There's pulpit, plenty of pulpits out there. Pulpits that even the pastor cannot reach. There are people who work with you who will never hear anyone talking but you. You are a colleague. They see you. They know you. They go through. So we need to be able to know how to minister. Hear God for your workplace. Hear God for your family. Hear God for your children. Hear God for your work environment. Ask the Lord to open your eyes to see the things you must. There are certain things you must see in your community that only God can show you. And don't turn a blind eye when God shows you. Let me tell you how God speaks. If you have a burden about something, God is talking. Oh yeah. If something bothers you every day, you pass by and say, why do they do that? Ha ha ha. And no one is bothered. Everybody's passing nicely. You are like, I wonder why. Aha. God is talking to you. And you're thinking, you know, there's... Because you'll realize as you speak to other people, yeah, okay, yeah. You know, they're not bothered like you are bothered. The level of your bothering is at the level where God says, I'm sending you to go and make a difference. So some of the ways God speaks is that he creates a burden. He even creates an offense. Yes, you find that you're offended at something. It's because God wants you to engage. So that's how God speaks. Why is it bothering you? Why is this an issue? Why is it not an issue with other people? It's because God wants you to do something about it. I cannot remove my mind from something that says there are people who need to adopt children. That people need to adopt children. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Do it now. Very important. I just had to say that because it kept on popping. It kept on popping. So if God is talking to you about something, do it. If God is talking to you about starting a business, do it. Because here is a tragedy of tragedies. Sometimes we don't do stuff and then somebody does and say, and you're like, that's my idea. No, it's not your idea. We have, God has, that, the train has passed that way. And you did not jump in. It's now that person's idea. Because when God speaks, he's talking to everybody. But we have to connect to the frequency of what God is saying. So we are going to pray. And we're going to ask the Lord, open my ears, open my eyes. And the Bible says, because no one cries out, restore, the people are not restored. So tonight, we're going to ask the Lord, restore. I don't care where your son is and where your children are and what's going on in their lives. You need to cry out, restore. The Lord says, there are children, these are people trapped in holes. They're trapped. You know, when you raise children, those of you who are elderly and you've got elderly children, some of you, you've raised your children in the ways of God, but they grew up and they left the way. Let me tell you and assure you, those kids come from your loins. It's your seed. Everything that comes from your seed is still connected to you. When you pray, that's the stuff you talk to God about. You say, Lord, nothing that comes from my body will be defiled, will be wicked. I call on my children, all of them. Oh, yes. You know what I say? I usually say to the women, you hold your womb when you pray. And you say, Father, everything that has come out of this womb will serve you. I demand it to serve you. Because you see, your children up to 18, you have control. Beyond that, too bad. Do you understand? Beyond that, just hope for your grandchildren. That's the next generation. That's the part you need to, the stuff you couldn't do with your kids, you will do it with your grandchildren. And you must ask for your grandchildren. Those of you who are grannies, ask. Don't say, oh, they're a bother. Ask for them. And the parents will be so happy to dump them to you. Ask and say, can I have the kids? What do you want to do? You want to instill certain principles that you missed with your own children. You want to put, and you know what? You would have saved the next generation if you do that stuff. I want to pray today that the Lord will open our ears and open our eyes. I'm going to ask the worship team to help me as we pray. Amen. Are you blessed? Let's stand on our feet. So we're going to ask the Lord to open our spiritual ears. Some of you, the Lord has been speaking to you, but you've been struggling to obey the voice of God. And you've been going through those questions. Is it me? Is it God? Is it who? But you know it's God. You know it's God because it doesn't stop. It keeps coming. It keeps coming. It keeps coming. That's how you know God is speaking. God speaks and He speaks and He speaks. And He keeps on reminding you and keeps on reminding you. Tonight I want us to submit all our issues to God. Ask the Lord, Lord, open my ears again to hear. Open my eyes again to see. There are certain things in your life. God always shows us things if we are aware, if we are discerning. I want you to ask the Lord to help you to be a person of discernment, so that you are able to connect, able to see. Now, before I go any further, if you are here today, and I know we did an altar call this morning, but I just feel, let's give an opportunity to those who say, you know, I love God, but I've moved away from God's things. I know God. I even grew up in church, some of you may say, but somehow I've drifted away. Today, I want us to bring back those who are drifted away, the prodigal sons. The Lord says, come back home, son. Come back home, daughter. And so if that is you, you know that somehow because of the issues of life, you moved away from the things of God. And life happened and you moved away. But today and tonight, the Lord is calling you again. He says, come back home. He says, come back home. He says, fear not. I want to pray just for those specifically who say, I want to reconnect to God. Yes, I know I love God. That's why I'm here. I love God. I don't have issues. But I know that I'm not at that place. I know something disconnected. I know I moved away. But tonight, I need the Lord to restore me. And God is going to restore you. When He restores you, your spiritual ear will be sharp again. Your spiritual sight, you will see again. You will be able to perceive the things of God. Some of you used to have dreams and visions. God would visit you. But somehow, that stuff is gone. It's not there anymore. Because somehow you shifted. You moved away. But the Lord says, I want to restore you. If that is you, at a count of three, I want to pray for you so that you will reconnect with God. So that you will reestablish your connection with God. And if you're doing this for the first time, I want you to indicate, because we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. This is the day. This is the time. This is the hour for you to make that reconnection. That's why I am here. God has sent me here for you. And it is wise for you to maximize this opportunity. You may not get it again. I want to pray for you today. If that is you, say, Pastor, I want to reconnect with God. I want to come back to the things of God. I want to be connected to God again. At the count of three, you lift up your hand. I want to pray for you. One, two, three. Lift up your hand. I want to pray. God bless you. 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 We are reconnecting. We are reconnecting. We are reconnecting. Put down your hand. God bless you. I'm going to do it again. If you are here and you are doubting, you are debating, you are wrestling in your spirit, but something in you says, do it. Something in your spirit says, do it. We don't know why God says that, but if I were you, I would obey. If I were you, I would obey. If that is you, you know that you must reconnect. There's a certain level of prayer you used to operate in. You're not there anymore. There's a certain level of openness to the things of God you used to have. You know you're struggling. Today the Lord says reconnect. At the count of three, one, two, three, lift up your hand again. If there's somebody, praise God. I want to pray for you, please. I know the place could be small, but just as an act of faith, if you can step out and come, we just do a prayer. And if you are part of the ministry team, after you've been prayed for, you pray for other people, please. I know that some of us are in the ministry team, but it's okay. Let's pray and see how God does this thing. Is that okay? Please step forward. Let us pray. Please step forward. Let us pray. Please step forward. Let us pray. Let's do a quick one. We want to reconnect. Just come way, way, way forward. Thank you so much. God bless you. Lift up your hands, please, as we are praying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The ministry team that is not being prayed for, please come and help us. Thank you, Father. I need somebody to help me with the people. Thank you, Father. Give us a song. Ooh. That's it. That's it, my dear. That's it. 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 Hallelujah. I just want to speak over Jolene, if she's still here. Oh, great. And Richard. Amen. Somebody can be playing something in the... Let's bless our pastors. Is that okay? If you have somebody who can play the keys, oh, thank you so much. All right. Please come. Oh, hallelujah. Are they not a blessing? Don't we love them? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Also, Father, thank you for this wonderful couple. I hear the Lord saying unto you, daughter, surely I've shown you many things. I've revealed to you deep things. I've shown you skies. I've shown you mountains. You've been to the mountaintop. You've seen it. You've seen what it could be like. You've seen how it can be like. The Lord says, I've given you both a vision. You have seen the end of something so powerful. You've seen it. It's almost like you've seen the Canaan land, the promised land. And the Lord says, I'll give you strength and the courage to go up that mountain. You will conquer and you will win the battles. There are battles you will conquer and you will win. The Lord says, do not fear. Do not fear the opinions of man. For I have given you a vision very strong and mighty. And I have given you a vision very bold. And I have given you a vision that others have shied away from doing. They have shied away from doing it. They have run away from doing it. Yet I have laid it in their hearts. The Lord says, you're not the first ones I'm talking to. I've spoken to others before, but they have not believed. But I'm giving you this opportunity to trust me, says God. Do not look at the finances or the resources, human or otherwise. The Lord says, I've got this covered. Walk in this your strength, says the Lord. Go in this your might, says the Lord. For there are things you have seen, and what I have shown you shall come to pass. The Lord says, I will give you the tenacity to be able to push through and to pull through. I will give you the grace to be able to fight the battles and to win them. I will give you the wisdom to know what to say, when to say it, how to say it, which way to say it. The Lord says, there's a sword in your hand, and that sword is for you to be able to build and to cut things that are not needed in my house. The Lord says, I've given you the tongue of a ready writer. You will speak and it will be inscribed in the hearts of men. You will say things and I will seal them in the hearts of men. Not only for this congregation, the Lord says, you are a birther of many others. The Lord says, you are a church planter. You are missionaries. There's many babies growing out of your loins, many spiritual babies to be birthed. The Lord says, do not be afraid of launching out and of doing it and taking this thing to the next level. The Lord says, you are fathers and mothers to many generations, and I will bring these things to pass. This is why there's a groaning in your spirit. There are babies to be birthed. There are babies to be birthed. Ministries to be birthed. Healing ministries. This ministry. That ministry. Worship ministry. There's so much in you. There's a lot of babies, projects in your spiritual womb. And that's what the Lord says. Many a times you go into this turning and twisting in your spirit. It's because there is so much that's growing in your spiritual womb. And the Lord says, one after the other, you will begin to bring birth. You will begin to bring birth. You will begin to bring birth. And do not be afraid of the seasons of time. And do not say, Lord, we don't have the time. God says, you have all the time. Because the things, cause one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So the Lord says, quickly, I will do it. Suddenly, it will be done. You will look back and say, how did this happen? The Lord says, therefore, do not be afraid. Do not hold back. I am about to release you into greater heights. The grace upon your lives will increase. The demand will grow. Not only for this local church. The Lord says, in this place, I will bring forth a harvest. A great harvest. The Lord says, there'll be a great harvest of souls. Many are still coming, says the Lord. The church you see now is pastors of the church of tomorrow. The church you see now, the people you see here are actually the ones that will be midwives to the next church. They will look after, they will look after. The Lord says, therefore, you are not just raising a congregation. You are raising a community of priests. You are raising a priesthood. You are raising a generation of priesthood who will usher many and bring many. Many will be healed. Many will be restored. Many will receive life. The Lord says, these things will come to pass in your generation and in your time. The Lord says, I will do it quickly. I will do it quicker than you've ever imagined. I will do it. I will hasten to do it. But it does not end here. It does not end here. I have a sense in my spirit. It does not end here. The Lord says, there are many other campuses. What I do here is a model of what I will duplicate everywhere else where I will show you. Therefore, it's important how you build this model, because this will be a model that will be copied and pasted, like copy and paste, as they see what God does here. The Lord says, fear not, daughter, fear not, son. This is your hour. The Lord says, you will lead in this area. You will lead in this area. You will lead in this area. And as you lead, do not be afraid. Others will follow. They will follow. They will see. They will watch as you lead. And as you lead, because you believe, it shall come to pass much more quicker, much more speedily. And I see homes everywhere, places of healing everywhere. God says, this is but one among many others to come, because I will send you to places. I will even bring you to know how to raise a school of duplicating what I am doing in this place. For this will become a mountain of the Lord. I hear the word mountain of the Lord. This will become the mountain of the Lord, where many will receive healing and restoration, where lives will be restored and be sent back like a harbor that will come and dock and be restored and go back. The Lord says, like a lighthouse, many will watch and see where is the way I need to go, and they will get here and they'll be restored here and they'll be healed here. Their children will be healed here. Their families that will be healed here. The Lord says, I will do all these things within no time. It will be a quick work. It will be a sudden work. And I will move the prophetic level to the next level, says God. I will move the level of worship to the next level. I hear new songs coming. I hear new songs. The Lord says new songs are coming. The songs that will tell where you are in the spirit. There's new songs. There's new words. There's a new melody. There's a new sound. You will not just sing songs you know, but you will sing songs I have spoken into your spirit. You'll begin to release sounds that will heal nations and heal loved ones and heal people. I see drug addicts being restored. I see those who are homeless being restored. I see those who have lost their way being restored. I see mothers and who have been abused being restored. I see God raising you to shelter many and to love many. It will be a place of healing and restoration for lives and homes and families. And the Lord says that is the revival, the restoration of man. That is the revival. And so we connect you to your destiny. We connect you to the grace that is upon your lives. The grace to multiply. The grace to multiply. Father, thank you for the grace to multiply. In the name of Jesus. There it is, there it is, there it is, there it is. That's it. Like a wave, like a wave, like a wave, like a wave. Oh Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Father. 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 So Richard, you're gonna train young men. I see God bringing young men to you for ministry. Don't even worry how that's gonna happen. God says you're gonna train, because they're gonna come and say, train us. You're gonna find them broken, beaten up, but God is gonna give you the grace to raise these young men and to train them in the ways of God. All the experience that God has given you, even in the marketplace, because some of them need just wisdom for the marketplace, not just spiritual things. God says, all that training. Because sometimes we look at our training and say, what was that for? All the training. God says, I'm going to cause you to mentor some young men and to instill principles, just principles, principles of care, principles of looking after their lives, principles of order. There's many fatherless children, fatherless sons who need a father to speak into their lives. And not just you, God will draw to you a company of fathers that you will bring together and raise these sons. I see many of these fatherless children. God will give you a grace to raise these fatherless children. I see these fatherless children, a company of them, sons and daughters alike. You know, there are daughters who are really, you know, lost. God will give you and other fathers the grace to father these children. To father these children. So Father, we release that grace in him. The grace of a father. To father many sons and daughters. Over his life. Yes. I see architectural graces. Things you've never done before. I see architectural graces. The graces, architectural graces. It's apostolic graces. That's what it is, Richard. It's actually apostolic graces. The Lord says, I release apostolic grace upon your life. You've always had it, but now it will come to fruition. You've always had it, but now it will come into its zenith. I see that apostolic grace. I see order, the grace to raise things from the beginning. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I see God helping you to raise. This is why God's saying, I'm training you with buildings. Because it's an apostolic grace. you say, Lord, what am I this? I'm not even this. What's happening? Because it's an apostolic grace. It's called missions. That's what it's called. And God will grace you with the grace to know how to raise an entire community. Not just spiritually, but in every area of your lives. Father, thank you for releasing a father of nations. Ooh, we stir it up. We stir it up. A father of nations. 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 We call it forth from him. We call it forth out of him. A father of nations. Ooh. A father of nations. And I hear the Lord saying, even in the whole movement, God will say, God says, I'll give you wisdom. The wisdom to build. The wisdom to build accurately. The wisdom to build accurately. I see a holistic approach. God is going to give you the grace to know how to build a holistic approach. I know that admin is not necessarily something you enjoy, but it's a grace you have. And the Lord says, don't be afraid, son. There's a lot of things that needs to be set in order. There's a lot, and there's a grace you carry in that area. There's a grace you carry in that area. The Lord says, I'll show you what, I'll show you when, I'll show you how, I'll show you with whom and in what way. God says, everything will be lined up. Everything will be lined up. Father, thank you for the grace upon this beautiful couple and their children. We bless them and we bless their kids. We bless them. We bless their children with many blessings. They will grow in the ways of God. They will grow in the purposes of God. They will know the Lord. They will fear the Lord. They will follow the Lord. They will be God chasers. We release that grace over the children. They will be God chasers. We release that grace over the children. They will be God chasers. They will love the Lord. They will serve God. None of them will be lost. None of them will be lost. None of them will be lost. They will always be in the ways of God. Thank you, Father, for the grace of God upon their lives. Thank you, Father, for the grace of God upon their lives. Thank you, Father, for the grace of God upon their lives. Thank you for the grace of God upon their lives. Kuba yasikiba handu siba tulaka yedene siba hatulakaya kibusaya. I hear the Lord saying, prophet to the nations. Kibusaya makuya dakaya himasudia mahandoya. Thank you, Father. Eya sakati. Thank you, Father, for grace. Thank you for grace. Thank you for grace. Thank you for grace. In the name of Jesus, thank you that you have called them as a priesthood family to serve your people. And Lord, I pray for a hedge of fire around their lives. I pray for a hedge of fire around their lives. Over their health, over their ministry, over everything they touch and do. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for the whole staff that works in this place. I pray for grace. Where's Marilise? Is she here? Come, my dear. Father, I pray for grace. I pray for wisdom. I pray for cover by the blood of Jesus. I pray for protection and preservation. I pray that you go before her, that you fight her battles and win her wars. I pray that you give her a heart. A heart for the God, as you have already done it. A heart of a servant. A heart of a servant. Hiba soya balaya basuki bahaya ladesia. Hiba nosia bandoli bakaba lasia. I pray for the grace to become everything. The grace just to become a whole everything. A jack of all trades, just the grace. The grace to run around. The grace to do it all. The grace to do it all. The grace to do it all. Thank you, Father. And I hear the Lord saying this team will increase. Thank you, Father, for increasing the team. Thank you for increasing the team. Thank you for godly men and women who will hear the word of the Lord to join this team and to build the work and to make it all happen. Father, thank you that you are God who provides in the name of Jesus. Now, if the Lord is talking to you concerning things you've got to do for the church. I'm talking to everybody now. Do not be hesitant to obey the Lord. Don't say, this little thing I'm doing, what difference could it make? The Lord is looking for workers. We need more workers. We need more workers. And if you know in your heart, you can volunteer your time, you can volunteer your skill, you can volunteer some things you know, just to get the work done. Please come and talk to them and ask them, what can I do? Because the Lord says, I have need for more hands. I have need for more people, so that the house of the Lord is built and is strong. So Father, we thank you for speaking to every individual. Thank you, Father. Some of you, God will help you. He will lead you. You may not come yourself, but you will volunteer some of your people that work with you or work for you to come and do some things in the work of the Lord, to get things done. I see a lot of getting things done. And Father, thank you for releasing the grace of obedience in the name of Jesus. And so Lord, we bless this congregation. We bless your people from glory to glory, from grace to grace, from faith to faith. We release an explosion of the presence of God in this place. Father, we bless them with multiple gifts to bless many from this little corner to the rest of the world. Thank you, Jesus. It is done. And God's people say amen. Let's give Jesus a hand of praise.
I just want you to stretch out your hands to Pastor Mangaliso. It's just been such a huge blessing to all of us. And so let's just bless in this evening. Father, we thank you for your servant. God, we thank you for this mighty man of God. We thank you for his obedience. We thank you for his willingness, Lord, to be an example. And thank you, Jesus, for salt that is salty, a light that shines, a city on a hill. So, Father, we pray that you would increase his saltiness, that you would increase his light, that you'd make him more visible. And so, Father, we thank you, mighty God, that as he has sown into all of us this weekend, God, you are no man's debtor. Would you bless him? Would you fill him? Would you release back everything that he has sown? Would you cause his cup to overflow, that it would run over? Lord, that his churches would flourish, that his leaders would flourish, that he would have many leaders come to him and say, I want to be a part of your network. So thank you, Father, for the apostolic grace on his life. And I just feel the Lord saying he's only getting started with you, Mangaliso. Pastor Mangaliso, we honor you. We honor you in the spirit, and we thank you. I just feel the Lord saying this nation needs your voice. And so thank you, Lord, that this nation will still hear his voice. Many people will still hear his voice, because it's you speaking through him. And so mighty God, we pray that he would assume this position constantly on his knees in dependence with you. And I just feel the Lord saying, that's the key. Just stay on your knees in front of me, and I will use you mightily. And so we bless his waiting, as he has blessed us with this word. We bless his waiting, that you will renew his strength, that you will cause him to fly higher than anybody can dream, that he will run and not grow weary. Bless his wife, bless his four children. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen, amen. God bless you. Amen. Bless you.